Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
...of the musicians that made them, and a wide array of interesting facts in general. It's Freeform Radio at its finest. Hear what you rarely hear anywhere else, here on Radio Free Saturday mornings, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. every Saturday on KSJE.
Minutes past 8 o'clock. It's Tuesday morning, May the 7th, 2024. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the airwaves here in San Juan County, New Mexico. In Durango, Colorado, we broadcast at 103.3 FM. And if you're anywhere else on the planet and want to tune in to hear what we're up to, just go to our website. Do that anytime, of course. We are streaming there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all year long at ksje.com. Welcome also to our viewers who are joining us this morning, because as you know, this is a visual radio station. Video of this program is streaming out live to the KSJE Facebook page and also to our YouTube channel. So welcome aboard, everybody. I am so glad that you are with us, because coming up this morning, it is our weekly update from the San Juan Health Council. We always spend time talking with a member of the Health Council, and that is what we are doing this morning with my guest, Lila Westrick. She'll be joining me in the next few moments right here on KSJE to talk about the work that she is doing in the community to inform all of us about domestic violence, human trafficking, and much, much more. That's coming up in the next few moments right here on KSJE. Then later on this hour, we'll be checking in, of course, with the Farmington Regional Animal Shelter. We do that on Tuesdays, our Adopt-a-Pet Tuesday segment, and we'll introduce you to some of the pets available for adoption this week, including Mango. That's the name of the dog you see on the screen right there. Mick Hess is coming in later on, Roving with the Arts, our weekday classical music program. And, of course, a reminder, if you're a podcast person, you can subscribe for free to KSJE Podcasts, and you'll find them where you're probably already listening to podcasts, your favorite podcasting app. So search and subscribe to KSJE Podcasts and maybe discover a new local program that you may have missed. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, it's currently sunny, 42 degrees on this Tuesday morning. We're expecting a sunny day today, but a windy day yet again. A bit warmer than it was yesterday, though. Today's high 66, but we could see wind gusts up to 55 miles per hour this afternoon. A windy night overnight tonight with a low near 38 degrees, and tomorrow sunshine, less winds, cooler weather, the high only 54 on Wednesday, 35 Wednesday night. Then by Thursday, partly sunny skies, the temperatures back up to 65 degrees, 47 overnight. And then take a look at Friday and Saturday. There's a chance of rain showers, 50% on Friday, 40% on Saturday, with highs in the mid-60s and overnight lows in the upper 40s. I'll be back with my guest with more right after this on KSJE. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center. The caregivers of San Juan Regional Medical Center are committed to bettering the quality of life, health, and care of individuals, families, and our communities. Life is their sacred trust. Better is their mission. Here is their home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, improving the health of the Four Corners since 1910. KSJE is supported by the University of Denver Graduate School of Social Work Four Corners Program. The University of Denver offers a Master's of Social Work degree in the Four Corners community. Applications for the 2024-2026 cohort is now open. Classes are taught Fridays and Saturdays in Durango. Find out more. Email janelle.dougty, D-O-U-G-H-T-Y, at du.edu or du.edu/socialwork/Four Corners. KSJE is supported by the River Reach Foundation, presenting Riverfest this Memorial Day weekend in Farmington. Music, crafts, food, and more can be found along the Animas River trails in Farmington. Riverfest kicks off Friday afternoon, May 24th, and continues Saturday and Sunday. Celebrate the rivers in Farmington with this jolt-worthy event. Find out more online at riverfestnewmexico.com. Riverfest, presented by the River Reach Foundation. And back in Studio A with my guest this morning, as I mentioned, a member of the San Juan Health Council. Lila Westrick is back with me this morning. It's always good to see you. Thank you for coming in this morning.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
You bet. You bet. And let's talk about the organization that you have founded and work for, right? Explain a little bit of that to us. There's a lot of acronyms involved.
Yeah, that's because we have a primary agency, which is Chemung Psychosocial Interventions for Youth and Family, but we are doing a lot of work under our subsidiary Four Corners Anti-Trafficking Multi-State Crisis Intervention Network and Task Force. So
it's a big name for a big job.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very good. And you recently had a workshop in late April that we were talking about before we came on the air this morning, and I want to talk with you about that because it's so interesting to me about the work that you are doing, the information that you're uncovering, and the fact that law enforcement is aware of some of these not so nice things that are happening right here in our region. And so I think for the audiences, it may be eye-opening, as it was to me, to learn about some of these things. And it involves human trafficking, it involves domestic violence and romances and a whole other nefarious things that I'm sure we'll get into. But
but
talk to me a little bit about the workshop. First of all, it was successful, wasn't it?
I believe it was successful. I really enjoyed it, and we learned so much from our experts. Captain Burns, he was one of the speakers here
from
San Juan County, from the Sheriff's Office.
Yes.
And he's a huge advocate of ours and understands the task we're trying to accomplish with the network.
Right.
And then Special Agent Adam has also been very much committed to assisting us in getting this moving. He has spoken at both workshops we've had. This is a series we're launching. And he's with the New Mexico Department of Justice, formerly the New Mexico Attorney General's Office.
That's just a new name, but still the Attorney General's office, basically, right?
Okay. Yes. Great speaker. And then we had Sergeant Nate Bolter out of Arizona, formerly with the Arizona Trafficking Network. He is a retired sergeant, 22 years undercover with human trafficking. So he came and gave us key indicators for youth, how traffickers operate on social media platforms, which is becoming the rage right now. That's how they're really attracting their victims, bidding wars, et cetera. But he goes into all that, and he went into familial trafficking in the Four Corners, which is really trending on Facebook.
And so explain what that means for folks maybe who aren't familiar with that term. So what is it that they're saying is happening?
What Sergeant Bolter is stating from the data he's collected is that a lot of the trafficking that we see with children is taking place or being promoted by the moms. And that's unfortunate, but I already knew that the predominant, we think it's men that are doing the trafficking, but it's really the women.
Okay.
And he said during the COVID season that trafficking from moms spiked at an all-time rate that they weren't prepared for it.
Interesting. And so so when we talk about trafficking, we're talking about
sex trafficking
with children and mothers that are arranging for their children to be in this.
Yes.
The situation, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, I didn't have words either.
Right. Yeah, I'm sorry. And I'm the radio guy, and I'm speechless, so that's what that tells you. But and so with finding out that it's either parent, I guess, right? It's still awful.
Yeah.
But a mother or a father, and so they're doing this for money, or what's the motivation?
Money. I can't imagine. But, you know, and I understand poverty. I understand being hungry. I understand the desperation that comes with that. I just can't understand selling your child to achieve right. that the goal of you know, we do this for, from, you know, you go from A to Z, this is how we get there. I can't wrap my head around it.
Right. And these folks from law enforcement confirmed that they are investigating, they have investigated
yes.
cases like you describe
yes.
in our region, in our county. How close
and
is
the,
it?
We cover with the trafficking network, we cover Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, and California. Sergeant Bolter gave the stats for the Four Corners area.
Gotcha. So it is, there are cases or suspected cases
yes.
here.
Yes.
In our area where we would think that we are somewhat remote and off the beaten path. And maybe that's what these folks look for too. I don't know.
Yeah. He's finding a lot of it taking place either on the reservation or the outskirts. Is where he's finding, because that's where the children are not wanting to return.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to pull on him to give more stats on that at the next workshop. But I just did a clip on Facebook of what he talked about with familial trafficking, and it hit big.
I bet.
It's been sure. trending. Yeah.
Right. And so at your workshop that you had, it was, I think the capacity was maybe 40 folks. And so these, what
yes.
types of folks were there? Who came to the workshop to hear from some of these things that were, that you're talking about this morning? What were some of the guests and the attendees from? Where were they from?
Well, first of all, we want to give a shout out, so to speak, to Commissioner Glojean Totticini. She was one of our sponsors, as well as the San Juan County Commissioner's Office.
Very good.
And the Fire Operations Center. They helped us get this whole workshop underway and facilitate it. And so she was present. And we had a sprinkle full of law enforcement there, and mostly behavioral health providers were at this particular workshop.
Got it. And I guess were their reactions like mine, surprised and shocked
yes.
to hear about this, or had they already maybe been familiar that some of this may be happening in our area?
No. We even had an attorney who was floored. She was present. And so, no, they weren't. So that's why everyone fell in love with the information that was being presented by the three law enforcement, because we always have law enforcement speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have like two speakers that are either experienced in trafficking or like myself. And then we had Miss Shannon Baum Diaz. She spoke about her daughter who had been recently trafficked and shot. This happened about 3 months ago. She was pregnant. No, 6 months ago. She was pregnant, and when the trafficker realized he had to let her go because he had been a boyfriend and family member, but he was trafficking her, and she couldn't say anything because he was threatening to kill my friend Shannon and her husband while living in their house. But they didn't know he was a threat to them.
Right.
But to make a long story short, when her parents left town and she thought she could get away, he actually chased her down and shot her.
And that's happening where?
Espanola.
In Espanola.
Yes.
I see. And so that's another part of this conversation then, the domestic violence part.
Yes.
And the romantic, I can say that in quotes because
yeah.
it really is
yeah.
what these folks use, I guess, to
he
try to get
her.
Trust, right?
He love bombed her. I mean, the letters that Shannon describes, and I've experienced love bombing, so I know that nobody's immune to it. The words that traffickers use on their victims, you're looking for the next fix, really. And it's hard to imagine that if you've ever been through it, because it's not just the words, it's the feelings that come with them. And so she stayed initially because she wanted that initial love he was offering, that
right, sure.
euphoria. And it doesn't last. They switch up on you, and that is what he did. You know, he came under the guise of, I'm in recovery, I want help. She actually met him at a shelter, and they began, you know, dating from there because she was working there as a volunteer.
Okay.
And a few people were. And he just wasn't who he said he was, of course, but they usually aren't.
Right.
And that's how she fell into the trap.
And that's what happens
yeah.
sometimes in
yeah.
some of these cases. You use the term love bomb that I hadn't heard before.
Yes.
So define that for us. What is that? Because that is kind of what it sounds like
yes.
happens. But tell me a little bit more about that term.
Love bombing is why domestic violence victims cannot leave their perpetrator, is what I'd like to call them, for lack of a law enforcement phrase. But
mm-hmm.
Love bombing takes place because one of the stats that keeps coming up is that traffickers and domestic violence perpetrators have narcissistic personality disorder. You probably need that to be that kind of selfish and cruel. And there are stages with narcissistic personality disorder, and there are like four different diagnosed types. So we're going to bring a therapist in to talk about that at the next workshop in August. And what happens during the initial stage when they're wooing you, they love bomb you. They can't do enough nice things for you. They can't say enough nice things. They're calling you at night. They're calling you during the day. They're working this like it's a job.
Because it is for them, I guess, isn't it?
It is. And you know, the hard part about it is they do fall in love with their victim, but they go in with the intent of, you're going to do this for me or else.
Right.
And they know how to graduate you into, you know, because they're grooming you. And they don't even, it's like breathing. It's part of personality. So they don't even realize what they're doing, but it's their nature. This is how the relationship's going to go. This is what I want from it. I want money. I want you to do this, and I want you to just be at my beck and call and my whim. And
But that's after
the love bombing.
Right, I was going to say.
They can talk you into doing anything. And if you don't have...
Right.
That's where prayer comes in for me, because it takes some strength to stand against that. Because women are word receivers, so we respond to the man in our life, and that's the issue.
Right. And I guess, though, it doesn't necessarily have to be a man love bombing a woman. It could be the other way around, or it could be same-sex relationships or other things, couldn't it?
Yes, I've been actually approached by women on Facebook, which I'm already angry that they're there to victimize another woman. I'm all for the sisterhood.
Right.
And so I get offended right away, just right there. I don't even have to go anywhere else. Just, why are you coming at, I'm a woman, you're a woman, and you're coming here to victimize me?
You can see it.
Yeah.
You can see it, but not everybody can.
No, but I have ripped a new cord, and every time they approach me, what do you want?
Right.
I don't date women. What do you want? And after the, I want to be your friend. No, you don't. What do you want? And then I asked her straight out, are you a trafficker? And she said, yes. I said,
she told me yes.
And I said, and what do you want with me? She said, I want to sell you off. I said, well, I want to do the same. she didn't have a comeback for that.
Because
woman to woman, you know, if you can do it, I can do it too. But I mean, that's not where I'm going to go with this. I'm going to flip you over to law enforcement. But
right,
I'm like, and they call my number knowing it's a law enforcement connected number, but you still called or sent a text and you said this on my phone.
Yeah. That's pretty, I don't know.
Yeah.
Pretty brave, I guess. But these folks are that way, right?
Yeah.
And they will take those steps. And so, very interesting. And so I know that's another big part of this, though, is so these individuals, not necessarily women, but many times women, getting into these relationships and getting love bombed by these men mm-hmm. who are very narcissistic and have those personality traits and just bombard them, as you say, with all these supportive messages and do anything for you to get their trust, I suppose, is a big part of this,
loyalty.
Too.
The loyalty is what they're after.
Right. That you will do anything for this person.
Yeah.
And even the most awful thing you can think of, I suppose.
Even because the love bombing doesn't go away. It's still interspersed with throughout the relationship, because when you get ready to leave, and there are stages where you can leave in the beginning stages, they know that if they love bomb you, you're going to come back, because it is addicting. I'm not going to pretend it's not. It's addicting. It's why women don't leave. It's the answer police need.
Right.
It's people want to be loved like that. And unfortunately, our everyday Joe doesn't talk to you like that. And so women are looking for that. And that's where the trap is set.
Right. And we know from other conversations about domestic violence that is one of those things. It's very hard for the person that is the survivor to leave that abusive relationship, even if it doesn't get as far as we're talking about, like trafficking and things like that. It may be just other types of domestic violence. So that's very difficult to finally make that decision to walk away.
Well, you know what a lot of people don't know about domestic violence is it almost always is some sort of trafficking involved in it. It may be labor trafficking. It depends on his jealousy and territorial feelings in terms of sharing his woman. But there's always some level of trafficking. And all narcissists graduate to violence. That's the end stage. That means you've stayed too long.
Right. And you and I were talking before we came on the air this morning, Lila Westrick, about how some of these relationships make it more complicated for law enforcement, I guess, to get involved and to try to prosecute, separate, do their job in some of these situations, correct?
Yes.
How does that work?
It's because we honor family in our hospitals, and we honor family in our psych wards. So traffickers marry their victims because it gives them a legal right to retrieve them. Even when it's a domestic violence record, because the trend has always been, up until now, we're just recognizing domestic violence and trafficking go hand in hand. But prior to that, the woman goes back, or the man goes back, because there are some men who, you know, are being trafficked or in domestic violence situations. And not just with another man, but maybe with a woman, because a lot of women are committing acts of violence. So what happens there is that they go back. And so it's very confusing for law enforcement to go in and try to help when this person is standing up for their victimizer, the person victimizing them. And so, and you can't go to court and press charges if you can't get them to be a witness. So we have to have some changes in the court that allows the officer to be a witness on behalf of that victim, because she's not going to be able to do it for herself, because that's a personality disorder in her. And it's not necessarily there ahead of time, although it is, but the need to respond to those words that she's seeking and the way he makes her feel is why you're not going to get her to say anything. She's looking for the next fix. She's not necessarily afraid of being killed or harmed. She's afraid of losing that love factor.
Right. Which is not always the most clearly thought out thinking, I guess. But if you're in that situation, people aren't thinking clearly in that situation. So I understand that. And so for law enforcement, so even though there's maybe a restraining order or something else, if someone is a spouse, that makes it really complicated and difficult for your law enforcement folks to be able to maybe try to wiggle in to figure out exactly what's going on, because they can get two different stories from two different individuals.
Or even a different story from the same individual.
Well, that's true.
I have been in, I worked with the Sheriff's Department as a security officer in California, and I saw a lot of, I lived in the neighborhood where I heard the rapes, I saw the rapes, because they did them outside to advertise they had a new person that they were going to sell. So they would rape them outside. And most people don't know the raping is not vaginal, it is sodomy. And so that was traumatic for me to have to witness that. But in saying that, what happens with the victims in association with the love bombing, I've noticed they don't leave. Not here, thank you, God. I didn't want it there either.
Considering. Of course not, no.
But that this is where, because I went off my career path to do the security detail so I could carry a gun mostly. But I witnessed that, and I could not get the nursing staff to not release those victims back into the hands of the trafficker. So that it is a very powerful tool to marry them.
Right. Interesting. My guest this morning, Lila Westrick, is here. She is with Shemont Psychosocial
Interventions.
Thank you. And is talking about the workshop she had in late April. There's another one coming up in August you were telling me about. And this one's more about the narcissistic personality trait, I guess,
yes,
for these folks.
And why women don't leave.
Got it. And that will be, again, in August. And folks can sign up and go learn more about that.
Yes.
In the meantime, you also have, or not in the meantime, but after that, in September, you have another event happening too, which is a walkathon, right?
A walkathon and a festival. Our festival is celebrating the return of our missing and indigenous residents, Four Corner residents. And that festival is really a celebration of law enforcement's achievements throughout the year. So we always celebrate all of the people they brought home. And not just our local, but across the Four Corners and plus California states. And they're making some amazing strides, and we need the public to know about it. But it's also a celebration of those who've come home.
Very good. Wonderful. And for folks who'd like to get more information about that event, your workshops and things like that, how can they keep track on the events that you are working on and bringing to the community?
You can find Shemont on Facebook, Shemont Psychosocial Interventions. You can find us on Facebook, or you could call us at 505-471-3000. Again, that's 505-471-3000.
Okay. And Shemot is spelled
S-H-E-M-O-T.
M-O-T. That's it. Very good. Well, Lila, thank you for coming in this morning. It's amazing work that you do, and that you share it with us and let the audiences know what's happening. It's really disturbing and unfortunate, but I think it's important for us to know what's going on in our communities, to be aware of it.
Yes.
So thank you for sharing that with me.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Thank you very much. Lila Westrick, my guest this morning, right here with me on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.